we're glad you're here.
Thank you.
And we want to, you to just say whatever you'd like here at the beginning.
Okay.
And then let the folks ask questions.
Amy, we have a...
This will help us.
We have a mic.
Oh, I think it was close enough.
I think we're good.
Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
You might want to stand right here in the center of it. Here we go.
All right, I'm pulling up on my phone. So this year we did something different for the video. We kind of did a music video. So rather than having the Once Upon a Time we started at an orphanage and kids have, you know, orphans have no parents and, you know, all of that emotional kind of talk, we just wanted to show the results of the work that we do. And so we chose this really beautiful song. The teacher that was working with the kids actually chose it and taught the kids a dance to it. And then through the video, you're going to be able to see all the activities that the kids do throughout their week. And what I really love about this video, and I think you'll agree with me when we see it, is the joy that radiates from the kids. And it's just such a result of them having been raised in the ways of the Lord. But the song that we chose for them, it has beautiful lyrics. Here and now, I'm in the fire above my head, being held under the pressure, don't know what will be left. But it's here, in the ashes, I'm finding treasure. Does anybody remember what happened to us last year? Big fire, real, actual life ashes. He's making diamonds, diamonds. He's making diamonds out of dust. He is refining, and in his timing, he's making diamonds out of us. I'll surrender to the power of being crushed by love, till the beauty that was hidden isn't covered up. Oh, it's not what I hoped for. It's something much better. None of us hope for a world that includes orphans. That wasn't God's plan ever, but it's a reality of the sinful world we live in. But even though it's a sinful world, and even though these children are left without their physical families with them, God is making something better out of it. He's making diamonds. Diamonds out of dust. He's making diamonds out of us. Oh, the joy of the Lord. It will be my strength. When the pressure is on, he's making diamonds. The joy of the Lord will be my strength. He's making diamonds. So that's the lyrics that we chose for this video. And it's just so powerful to see the result of the pressure that these kids have been under, the pressure that Tom and I have been under in running an orphanage. It's not easy to live 17 years in a foreign culture and to, you know, experience the difference, you know, the losses of babies, the struggles with the government, the lightning strikes, the fires. None of that has been easy, but the results are that God is making something beautiful out of the tragedy.
You need this now, right? Sorry, guys. Thanks for your patience as we figure this out. Here's the...
Does anybody have any questions? I mean, most of you know us pretty well. Yes. Go ahead.
What's it like being asked in Africa?
Wow, you'd have to be a little more specific. So what would you like to know about Africa? What do you think might be different?
Well, I think it looks like a savanna, and it has lots more animals. A million more.
Okay. So. Okay. That's great. So it would be fun if we lived on the set of The Lion King. But we don't exactly. Savannah is a little farther north of us and a little bit. So where we are, it kind of looks like Africa and what you've seen in pictures. It's a lot of dry, scrubby bushes and a few trees. So it's not like the forest. In part of the year, it's really dry. So right now it's really dry, and then the rains start in about a month, and then they last for 6 months.
So we have no rain, and then we have lots of rain. And animals, we don't see lions, cheetahs, giraffes, elephants, zebras, unless we go to a park where they are, just like you would. But what we do see, snakes, scorpions, rats, occasionally a baby crocodile, monkeys, so all of those things we've actually had in our house. So it's different than and not the fun things. So I learned this squirrels. I don't get to see squirrels. So when I'm here, I truly am describing going, squirrel, squirrel.
Love it. Well, my favorite animal is a unicorn.
Is a what?
Unicorn.
A unicorn, okay. Well, I definitely have not seen one of those. All right, any other questions?
How many children do you have now? Do you have new ones coming in also? Do you have more babies?
We have 33. So the last baby we took in was just before I came here last year, was Mishek. He was the one who was very, very sick. And he's doing great now. He's about 16 months, something like that. And we haven't taken in any new babies. At the moment, we're starting to feel like God is leading us to focus on the 33 that we have and raise them well, rather than continuing to take in new ones, which means our attention is a bit divided. So at this moment, our doors are not open to new babies. That is not to say that God won't push a door open. But at this moment, we don't have it thrown wide.
Have you seen, since you've been there, have you seen the people, how can I say, live better or accept you more or are more?
Yes and no. So whether they accept us better, I think they've always been grateful. I don't know that this side of heaven they're ever going to truly understand their limitation. And so that is still always going to be a problem. I mean, just today my husband caught a staff member stealing 2 pounds of meat out of our freezer, and that was the kids' meat. That was going to go in their beans today. So that means the kids don't have meat in their beans, because we can't just pop out to the store and get some more. And plus, we can't just keep spending the same money over and over again on the same things. So that's hard. That's hard to have where they think they're stealing from us and we're really stealing from the kids. So in that way, I think there is like always going to be that kind of like barrier that you run up into of, well, you wouldn't be here and you wouldn't be caring for all these kids if you didn't have more than enough. When they don't understand that that ability comes from God, not from us. So, it's still a challenge. It's always going to be, just because of the culture.
Are there volunteers that work with you, or you pay these people to come and help? How many of those people do you have, teachers and so forth?
We have about 12 local staff members that are being paid through the community. And then we have, right now, we have one American teacher that's there. That is a volunteer. We have 2 more volunteers that are in the pipeline ready to come in the next couple of months. So, we employ 12 people in the village. Was that answering your question?
Okay. I know you've probably spoken about the language barrier before. How does that transition?
Well, Zambia's official language is English, because it's a very mixed tribe country. So a lot of African countries will have 2 or 3 dominant, like big tribes. Zambia has 73. So 73 local languages. When they got their independence, they chose to make English the official language rather than choosing any of the local languages, which could have caused civil war because it would have been promoting one tribe over another. So they chose English, which is good because then it makes it easier to communicate. And that was one of the reasons why we chose Zambia as a country to go to, because my husband and I are missionary kids, and we just didn't have the energy to learn another language. So we're sticking with English this time. There are still local languages being spoken, so that anyone who hasn't really gone through enough years of school won't speak English, but there's always somebody around that can help with translation. And then the kids speak English perfectly because they grow up with us. And you'll have to watch some of our videos on Facebook that we put up, especially in the comments, which are hilarious. I mean, if you're not following him, please do. You don't even have to friend him. His videos are all public. and he posts a video about a minute to 2 minutes long every day to show in life, and you'll hear the kids talk on some of those. And they sound like they have your accent. Yes?
So how are the needs and challenges kind of changing as the kids move out of young childhood and get a little older?
The challenges are keeping them busy, giving them enough to do. So we've introduced karate, they do art, and they're learning the local language better. But we're giving them more responsibility. So then the discipline needs of them change as well. And getting them through more school, helping them to understand, what life is going to be next. So that's, I don't know that it's changed a whole lot yet. It will probably, I was talking to Tom about it this morning, about how in about 5 years, we will have no preschoolers, we'll have all school age and teenagers. And, we are experiencing some adolescent stuff now. We've got three 13-year-olds, a 14-year-old, and almost 15-year-old. So, we've got some adolescents and then several 12-year-olds.
Do any of them have thoughts or dreams about the future yet? I know they're still kind of pretty young.
They're still so young that it does change
right
from month to month. However, one of ours, our oldest one, who has not really expressed any interest in anything, including, doing school. It's been like, sit here and do your school, and he's like, maybe, kind of just has that sort of, you'll lose out on all your privileges. He's that kind of kid. But they got an opportunity. The four oldest kids got to go on a safari camping trip for 2 weeks through Zambia. They got to see things that I've never seen, that most of the Zambian population will never get to see. Those animals we were talking about, they got to see, like, the big animals on the safari. And then, apparently, the British safari owner noticed that this particular child, Elias, had a very keen eye. And he said, when he's older, get him over here for an internship. And he could have a job as a safari driver and spotter or whatever they're called. So, who knows? We've been talking a lot about the fact that we will probably invite many of them to come back and sort of stand beside us in the project. And right now, they're already taking on responsibilities. So one of them runs the library, one of them runs the pantry, one does all the security, meaning locking up gates at night. One does all the trash, which includes burning it since we don't have garbage pickup. Another one operates the equipment, the electric equipment, like the video, DVD player, Xbox, all that kind of stuff. He does all of that connections and keeps the library, the dining room clean and locked up. So, we just have these responsibilities that we're passing on to them and helping them to take on. How are we doing?
Well,
I
just think it's not going to recognize.
When you opened up this one?
Yes.
What did it show? And then that inside that one? Oh.
No playable file.
Okay, so we'll pull it back out and reconnect it.
All right.
As you and Tom think about your future, would you give us a list of some needs that you have and that you're planning for? I'm not sure just what all your future, what your plans are for the future. Could you give us
a little? The future, like 10-year plan out or the next few months?
In the next few months, the next few years.
Okay.
I'm sure that you're thinking in terms of projects, things that need to be accomplished.
Yeah.
What do you have in mind?
So our biggest thing right now is, we lost the dining room and kitchen last year.
Right.
And it ended up costing a lot more than we anticipated to build up again. And because we found out that the original building which we had renovated had a lot of structural issues, going down, it basically has no foundation. So we had to redo all of that. So we got the dining room done. And the dining room is completely usable. The kitchen section, so we ended up doing a dining hall with a breezeway and then a kitchen section, which has a wash laundry room, kitchen, pantry. That whole section is built up to the roof level, but does not have a roof, does not have the plastering over the bricks, electric, plumbing,
I
house looking for the drives.
Oh, that's it. Phone. Yeah, it's not. So we have to plug in that memory stick again.
I did.
Oh, I don't think it recognizes it. I don't know what that USB does. It's not very friendly. All right.
Go ahead with that, and then we got a question right here from Andy.
Okay, so where were we? Kitchen building. Okay, so plumbing, electric, paint, all of that stuff has to be put into the kitchen building, washing machines for the laundry area, and shelving for the pantry. All of that has to be built. We're anticipating about $25,000 for that to finish. We have a final classroom, which is now, it's a multi-purpose classroom, so we're going to have art, science, we have a library in the corner of that, because we outgrew the little tiny library that we had, and we have a lot of kids now that need to sit and read. So that needs to be finished. I think that we need about $5,000 for that to do flooring and painting and classroom design. And bringing in a teacher, we really need to pray for teachers to come and join us. Because we actually had to send our youngest two grades out to a community school because we lost our teacher for that group. So that's a big need right now. So basically what we're doing, what Tom and I are focusing on right now, is shoring up the project. We've kind of been rolling full steam ahead for the last 12 years.
Yeah.
And we've spread ourselves a bit thin. So now we're focusing on, okay, let's really get this organized and established and that everything is working well. And so that if we have to step back for health reasons, you know, we're not spring chickens anymore. If anything happens, the project is easily handed over, even if it's just for a few months to somebody. So, and because you never know, there should be grandchildren at some point. I have six kids. I did my part. I was their turn. I'm my grandbabies.
That's right.
How is your needs feel, you know, like for clothes and things like that, toiletries and things like that, living?
Mm-hmm. How do we fill those needs? Well, go ahead, sir.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, is for the kids and you, you know, and all, as far as clothing and stuff like that.
Well, we are able to bring barrels. We buy these plastic barrels here in the States, 55-gallon barrels, and there's a company that ships them over for about $300. So we work on filling those, and that's where we get a lot of clothes from, is just filling up those barrels. Folks do toiletries, things like that we can get in the country. So the way we reach our budget is by finding partners. And this is one of the things that we are still working on, is we have still not reached, because we continue to take in new kids, we have not reached full sponsorship for all of our kids to meet our operating budget. So, but when out of our operating budget, that's when we buy locally their toiletries and, you know, whatever it is. School books is another big need, a big expense for us, because we're homeschooling them, but we just have a massive home. And so we buy all of our curriculum from South Africa.
And the clothes you put in these barrels, mm-hmm. that we donate,
yes.
people here in the States mm-hmm. donate.
Yes.
Different sizes.
My understanding is that you have another piece of property that you go to farm, is that
yes.
correct?
Yes. We have a 40-acre, 60-acre piece of land. I think once this past 10 years, it's a big piece of property. And yeah, it's about 40 to 60 acres. I forget because I think in hectares is how we have it. So it's a big piece of property and it has a river. And what Tom was able to install in January, something very cool, is a Barsha pump. It's a water wheel that just floats on the river. And just as it spins, the water kind of funnels into the hose and the pressure pushes it up, and it goes up about 100 yards, something like that, up to the orchard, and waters the orchard without any electric pump, without any kind of thing. It's just this wheel that sits there, and because it's floating on the river, it doesn't matter whether the river level drops. It's just as long as the river flows, it's going to keep pumping water. So that's really exciting. So we have the orchard is doing really well, and then we have
we have peanuts. We did 2.5 acres of peanuts the last 2 years and made our own peanut butter. That was one of the tragedies of the fire. We had just made our own peanut butter with all of these peanuts, and that was all lost in the fire. So it grew again, started again, so we've got homemade peanut butter, and we've done sweet potatoes, cabbages, tomatoes. Yeah, so that's another thing we're praying for is a farmer to come out and run that, because the local farmers are more like small. They plant a few vegetables around their house. They're not really industrial farmers, and so they don't have kind of an idea of how to run the farm properly. So we really need somebody that has an agricultural background to come in and stay out there and do some work. And the goal is eventually we can build children's homes out there. If we need them, or, you know, make create a more of a village setting. That's a long term goal. All right, are we ready? Don't want to miss anything. Our water is, we dug our own well when we first started, so it's a borehole. It's really, really deep. And we pump our water up to big tanks, and then that runs out, so it gives us a little bit of pressure. Electricity comes from the city, not city, the electric company. There's only one in the country. It comes from the electric company. Right now, the country is having a massive energy crisis because they had a drought. We didn't in our section of the country, but a lot of the country did. And
Zambia's major export is copper. So their major industry is copper, and so the mines said, we will operate our mines here, you know, because they're run by the UK, run by Australia. He said, we'll operate them if you promise you'll give us electricity. And so they're going to have, the government will get a fine or they'll lose taxes if the mines are ever a day without power. So that has to cut, the power has to go somewhere else. So we are now, right now, experiencing 8-hour power cuts daily and sometimes 12 hours on the weekends. So that makes it difficult to then pump the water because we don't have electricity, so you have to hook it up to a generator. Gas is $6 a gallon, so running a generator is not cheap either. That's one of the challenges that we're facing right now.
Let alone a clothes washing machine.
Right, yeah. So because of this, all of the kids' clothes, you saw them washing by hand. Mm-hmm. We hand wash the kids' clothing because we can't depend on the electricity. And then be like, okay, this day we need a laundry lady and this day we don't. So it's just simpler just to have her always hand wash. Although we will eventually get washing machines because the hand washing is hard on the clothes. The scrubbing wears them out much faster than the machine. And the village is struggling right now because they have wells all over the village and then they dug a big one. But the politics has gotten involved in the water, which is never a good thing. So they've now shut off water to most of the village because there's a disagreement about which political party is supposed to pay for the water. Mm. And so they've started coming to our place trying to take water from us. We're like, whoa, we can't, we can only do so much. So, yeah, well, I mean, I wouldn't want to sell water. I just have to say, I'm sorry, you need to go and make your government give you water. It's a human right. Like, instead of just taking my water, talk to your government and demand that they make your water work. But it's hard to see them suffering that way.
Is politics tribal?
No, it's government. It's government. It's supposed to be a democracy. Yeah. It is in name. Yes?
Wasn't Tom working on a water filtration system?
That is a big long-term goal for the farm area is to build a water filtration system for the village. The people that live in that area, because they're all drinking out of the river and it's very contaminated. But that's not something that's come to. I don't think we can do a project like that until we have somebody really trusted that's on the property day and night, because it would just be vulnerable then.
Have they thought about solar power?
Yes, solar power is just expensive to get started with. So yeah. We do have our water heater that gives the kids bath water is solar. We have had a couple panels from time to time, but that kind of thing is expensive. And when you're using it a lot, then the batteries are expensive too to replace. So yes, that is a possibility, but it takes a big capital investment. And we cook with gas. So that is one nice thing. We buy big propane tanks and cook with gas because otherwise we would never get dinner. We would have lost our minds a long time ago.
Do you have a lady that specializes in cooking your food for the kids?
We have two cooks. Okay. Yeah, they have that trade off.
And how about their weather?
It's better than Houston. I got out of the airport and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's September, why does it feel like this? So it can get really hot. October, September, October, and November, it's pretty hot, maybe 100 degrees. And it's dry, but it's dry heat, so it's not this humidity that kind of like makes you feel like you're suffocating. But then we don't have air conditioning, so there is a... We actually do. I lied. We have one in our office because our computers were suffering. So we put one in our office, and then our bedroom is off of our office, so we kind of get some in our bedroom, but nothing else. Yes?
Do people come in and visit and experience what you're doing and maybe help in different ways?
Oh, yeah. We have short-term volunteers all the time, and it's great. Because I think that is the best way to really understand what it's like is to come and see it for yourself. And it's really nice to have visitors, and they're able to sometimes offer their expertise and whatever they have during that time, and then they are able to also take back, become ambassadors, so you can share what they've experienced.
Is there a place for them to stay?
Oh yeah, we have 8 bedrooms, 8 guest rooms for volunteers. Originally those were all filled up with my kids, or at least 6 of them were filled up with my kids, and as my kids left, we got more and more guest rooms.
So what time of year is best? I mean, it's probably hot right now. Mm-hmm. When is the best time of year to go?
June, July is the best time because that's our winter. And by winter, it means you might put on a sweater and you can still swim. That's our winter. So that is the mildest time. And then the nice thing about it, too, is it's the dry season, so the malaria is much less because you're not getting bit by mosquitoes as much.
Uh-huh. What do you use for bombing season?
Hose and machetes.
No animals.
There are very few large, in our area of the country, there are very few large cattle. We have lots of goats, but I've never seen oxen in Zambia at all. Yeah, it's not a thing. And donkeys, I know there's a farm like about 8 hours south of us that uses a donkey for a cart to go in between the banana trees, but not for any kind of pulling of plows and things. We had a hand tractor at one time, a tractor that you pushed, but at that point we didn't have our property, and so we gave that to another missionary to have fun.
Does Tom teach the boys shop, or didn't he make a boat one time?
He's made a lot of things. He refurbished a boat. The other day he sat down and he taught them how to make a lattice to shade our window. And so we sat out with a bunch of them and taught them how to cut angles and measure and everything. So he'll do a little bit here and there with them. But he's pretty good about teaching the boys and gathering them all around and everything. They're all learning. They're all cooking. They're doing hand sewing. The girls made their own skirts recently. And it's all of them. We have open. Everybody can learn everything. So all the boys can crochet and sew, and the girls are, doing the other things as well. Although they're not as interested. They're not flocking toward Tom to do the carpentry yet. Maybe some of them, younger ones, will later. Yeah. But we hope that they all have well-rounded experiences.
And you have a certain number of teenage boys, I've never heard you say. Okay. Are these boys working in the garden? Do they have equipment? Do they have a tractor? Do you have a tractor?
We don't have a tractor. So the farm is kind of far away from the property. It's about an hour and a half away. So the kids don't get out there very often. Sometimes we'll take, fill up the back of our truck. Don't tell PBS. Just put them in the back of a pickup truck and take them all out to the farm. And then they harvest the peanuts or the sweet potatoes or something. But we're too far away for them to do the daily work at the farm. And we don't have any kind of mechanical equipment at the farm right now. It's all just hand. So we hire the people that live around the farm. We hire, maybe if we're doing a big clearing job, we'll hire maybe 15 of them for a day or two to clear a field.
So you're just using hose and mm-hmm. things of this nature?
Yes.
And machetes.
Yep. So it's a lot of manual labor. Tom would like to get a tractor out there eventually, but I think one of the things that we have to still continue to do is the de-stumping. So the ground was wilderness for a long time, so we've got a lot of tree roots, and then they also did farming there, and they do hump farming. And so we can't just bring a tractor because it won't be good for stuff. I don't know how this stuff works, but anyway, until we get the ground flat, we can't bring a tractor out there. But eventually, that will be the goal, is to get a tractor out there, because then we can do so much more.
Right.
Tractor, knock out fields.
Interesting.
long are you planning on remaining?
That is a very good question. I think originally Tom was going to die there. That was his plan. I'll just grow old and die. Then he started to realize that maybe wasn't super practical. And so we started talking about more of a 15-year plan of building to where we could hand over the project in 15 years, which would put him at retirement age. Now we're wondering whether we need to bump up the timeline as far as how much time we spend at the project and how much time we're here. A lot of that will be changed depending on our kids and what their life plans are, and then also how much we can bring new team members in to start to take over the project. My health has not been great. I've been pretty sick over the last few years, and so how much time, more time I can stay there is unknown at this point. So.
Do you have other people in mind who have the ability to come and operate the system?
Not yet. We had a prospective couple, and it didn't work out, so we're kind of back to square one. But we believe that, I firmly believe that when it's God's timing for us to pull out more, that there will be somebody that's there. I have no doubt about that. Right. That's just the patience of waiting with him. But our board is working on putting out feelers to sending organizations to see if they can find a missionary couple that would like to come out. Because it would take a few years just to get somebody to have enough of their feet under them to be able to handle it completely.
It's going to be a rare person that has never done anything, never seen anything before, just walk into it. Okay, let's just get on the internet and see how to make a,
right.
Make
yeah.
a, you know, a septic system.
Exactly, yeah.
That's not a normal
That brings up an interesting topic. So this couple that did come in, it was a big learning curve for Tom and I as well, because we found as missionary kids, it's all normal to us. Going into a new culture, yeah, it's hard, but it's normal. And so when they complained about things, we're like, and what? We've been through it. It's fine. And we didn't have a full understanding about what it meant to be brand new into living counterculturally or cross-culturally. Right. So the Lord has opened an opportunity for Tom and I this November to attend missionary training. So the missionary training we're attending is for brand new missionaries.
Right.
So what it's going to do is help us to understand what brand new missionaries are experiencing, so that when we do bring in team members, we can be a little more understanding that, because we felt like we were being compassionate, but we were also like, yeah, that's life. They're like, oh, we're still living out of our suitcase because we have no shelves built. We're like, and?
Yeah.
Or there was a spider in my bathroom. And?
That's
so,
what we have here.
Yeah. So we grew. We learned, and we're still learning, and we're going to learn even more in this training. And then they're also going to do some debriefing with us and help us processing some of our experiences.
How has the message of salvation been with you training your children, and has it spread any to the community around in the town? What influence has that had?
I'm not sure yet. It's hard to say, because I think we've talked about before how Christian, whitewashed Christian, Zambia is. So you're not having, unreached, unchurched people all of a sudden hearing the gospel. But the kids definitely have a deeper understanding of what it means to be a child of God. So I don't know yet that we're actually seeing the effects of that yet. But as they grow up and they begin to have more one-on-one peer conversations with grown-ups, when they are older, I think we will then begin to see those things change.
Thank you.
because right now they're just kids, you know. So while it might be they might be a good example of a Christian child, they're also different than the culture. So I don't know that we're really seeing the impact. So for instance, in the Zambian culture, kids are should be seen and not heard. Our kids are very much seen and very much heard, and so that can seem that they're a bit full of themselves or a bit impudent. So I think there needs to be a time of growth where they will grow up to where they can be seen as equals with other people. Then they'll have a chance to share the message with others. So at the moment, I think we're still building this strong foundation of, you know, discipling the kids we have so that in the next, you know, time, in the next 10 years, they're going to be able to then make that impact. When they go into a workforce and they're not stealing from their bosses, they're showing up on time, they have a good work ethic, I think that's when that impact is really going to be seen. That they're going to show what a Christian really lives like.
As these children are getting older, what is their mindset as far as when I'm going to leave this place?
We're just approaching it now. We're just talking about it now. So it's kind of, I don't think they really have a full understanding of what that's going to mean.
Okay. And when they leave, where will they go?
Remains to be seen. But the goal would be that we find them a good job or get them into higher education or turn around and have them work alongside us. Okay. So, you know, and then some of them may just, you know, return to their families and marry within the community, and, you know, that would be fine too. So we don't know yet what the Lord has in store for them.
So there's no set age where you say, okay, it's time for you to leave.
No. 18 is the age that the government says they're not ours anymore.
Okay.
But we have the child that's 15, I don't think he's going to be ready at 18. He's still going to have some growing up to do. So, but I don't think that'll be a problem. I mean, you know, he needs to finish his school. He needs to get through all his, you know, high school, and then we'll start to make a plan. And he may be a little older. It's not unusual in Zambia for kids to be graduating high school at 22, 23. Just because maybe they skipped semesters, maybe they started late. They have to pay for their schooling there, so sometimes parents won't have the money, and they have to wait until older kids graduate and then they can move in. So it's not unusual to see older kids.
Do the kids have contact with their extended family?
That's a great question. Yes, we just recently started having the kids, well, they've always had contact as far as possible with their families. We have Saturday is family day, and so they come in and hang out at the orphanage and meet, you know, visit with their relatives. But now we've started weekend visits home, so they will actually go and spend the weekend with their relatives. And we may bump that up into their school holidays, which Zambia kind of schools year-round, but with 3 one-month times off. So all of August, December, and April, are those months are out of school. So we may have them, you know, go home and spend 2 or 3 weeks or with their families. So that is good, especially for the older ones to really get to know their families better and to get used to that type of culture and lifestyle as well, you know, because that's using a drop toilet, which is a hole in the ground instead of a flushing toilet. It's, you know, having no electricity at night. It's drawing your water from a hand pump. But, you know, that it's a different life. So we want to make sure that they are ready for it and understanding of it and not snobby about it. Yeah, we're too good for hand pumps.
Like in the villages, and what age, you know, do they marry or start to have children of their own, or how do they work that?
So they get married early. The way the marriage system works there are bride prices. So when a man and a woman decide to get married, they have to get their families to agree on it and agree that it'll be a good match. And then the bride's family sets a price for her. She is worth X amount of, in the southern part of Zambia, it's cows, but in the northern, it's just money. And so they say she's worth this much money, and the man has to come up with that much money before they can truly be married. However, that does not stop them from having children. So what often happens is these women have two or three children, but they're not yet married. And then the guy may end up finding somebody else. So there's a lot of single mothers in the village, a lot of young single mothers, because it's usually late teens, early 20s that they're getting married and starting families. So what we're running into with our kids is we're concerned that our boys will be seen as targets, that they can afford a good wife, and that our girls will not be approached because they're seen as unaffordable, but at the same time, that may not stop them from being preyed upon. So that's one of our bigger challenges. I think you're asking about how it's changed. That is one of our bigger challenges, is trying to protect them in a culture that is marriage and its accompanying topics are off, they're taboo to talk about, but it's very present.
So. How do the male, their support, their wives, how do they earn money, you know, in the villages and or towns?
Most of the people in our village are peasant fishermen and farmers. So they grow the maize and they sell it. They grow a little bit more than what they need for their family. They sell a little bit, and that gives them, so they're eating, they have enough maize, the cornmeal, to eat, and then they have a little bit of money for the extra little things like oil and school fees and things. There's not a lot of money. There's not a lot of cash flow in the village. It's a tough life. But a lot of the people in the village, there's a lot of teachers, so they work for the government, they're shop owners. So those people have their own incomes.
Okay. Some of you ladies, I think, are going to be going to the kitchen to make preparations. Is that correct?
Roy, it's ready. There is no waiting.
Is it ready? Okay.
You better commit fast. Is it ready?
Okay.
Dear Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the food that you have prepared for us, and ask you to take it and nourish your body. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Okay, Amy, you're first.
Okay, all right.
We'll come back and do whatever you need to do. Okay.
Joy.